Hello, this is Reverend Irvin, greeting you and saying hello to you for the last time on this tape. It may be that the providence, the ways of God, that we shall have opportunity to greet each other again. But this is my last Sunday in a 6-year appointment to the Clarinda Church. It's been a good 6 years. It's been a time that's visited many of us with pain and crushing blows that life sometimes delivers. But it's been a time when God's grace has abounded and His strength, His power and His presence has become a living, vital, sustaining reality. We're so glad that you've been able to be, via the cassette ministry, a part for these several years of the worshiping body of our church. And we know that as I go on to other fields, that I can count on you for your prayers, for your support. And it'll always be my prayer that God will bless you very, very wonderfully and very, very richly as you go into the days ahead. Take with you the Spirit, the presence, and the power of a God who cares. May God always bless you. Eternal God, together we have come into your presence to seek you, to inquire of you, to be directed by you, and to be inspired by your Spirit. You have been to us a guiding light when we sought to let it lead us. You have been a source of power when we relied on you. You have been to us hope for the coming days when we have trusted you. And you are a healing power which can turn our divisions and conflicts into communion, and our hurts and illnesses into wholeness. We trust that you will continue to be all of that and much more as we thank you for our blessings. We thank you for the journey of the past 6 years. Those years have brought both joy and sadness, both elation and stress, both growth and disease. Somehow, we have always sensed your presence, and as this relationship today is broken, we trust that in your love, new ones will be forged to lead us further into Christ-likeness and along the road of service. We thank you that you have been so generous in dealing with our faults and our failures and our conflicts, and we thank you for blessing our feeble efforts to find ways of putting into practice our discipleship. Help us to know that the best is yet to be, that the path which God sets for us leads ultimately to the fullness of fellowship with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for letting us share these years of mutual ministry. And while we express our thanksgiving, we also seek from you the strength to deepen our commitment to Christ. We know in our heart of hearts that we have yet to make that radical change of desire and motive demanded of your followers. Help us to do that so that our witness in this community will be positive, though not always popular, will be faithful, though not always fruitful, and will be done with joy, though not always with ease and peace. Now, Lord, we pray our prayers of intercession as we wait before you in a moment of quietness. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord created man and woman somewhat marvelously. But one of the things I don't understand in a moment like this is how you can be so wet on the outside and so dry in the mouth. And I tried to figure out what a final message should be about. And I thought of a lot of esoteric things. And so I had Nicky visiting with me a while back. So I shared some thoughts with him, and all he did was growl. And then I also happened to see, was out in the front thinking about it one night, and a rather hippie-looking young man walked by, and I shared some thoughts with him, and he said, "Way to go, man," and I didn't think that was very helpful. So I found out that I was pretty much on my own. From the 8th verse of the 14th chapter of John, we find these words, "Show us the Father, that is all we need." Or some of the other versions says, "Show us the Father, and it suffices us." It was 6 years ago, give it take a day or two, and we used this text at the beginning of our shared ministry together. And we began, and I hope, and we continued, a searching for, a quest for God together, for the meaning of the Christian life experience. As you're aware, much water has flowed over the dam since then, if you'll permit me to coin a phrase. We're all a little older. Some are a bit wiser. Some have left this life. Some have joined us since. And in the hope, in the providence of God, we hope that we are all more Christian, and that somehow, under the Spirit of God, we have glimpsed the Father in new and deeper ways. We said then that our efforts to serve God, to be witnesses to His saving grace, was done so from the perspective of at least two things, two convictions about the nature of God. The first conviction was that God loves us with a love which is eternal, non-understandable, and beyond the sphere of our own ability to love. The second perspective was that a follower of Jesus Christ ought always to be growing into the likeness of Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as a non-growing Christian. There is no such thing as a Christian who has arrived. Because Christianity is a process. Being Christian is a growth process. It's not coming to fulfillment. And that's the reason, in part, that people outside the church can condemn us, or at least think they condemn us, who are church people, for being hypocrites. Because a Christian is one who always stands for something holier, something higher, something greater than he can ever become. There is hypocrisy of a sort written into the process of being Christian. God loves us with a love that is unremitting, not because we deserve, but precisely because we do not deserve. Paul says, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And no one is perfectly Christian, as I have suggested, Now, I would add a third perspective, which I suggested at that time, but probably did not state clearly and succinctly, and that is, we are called to be reconciling and healing agents, priests, in a troubled, a decaying, and a threatening world. Paul writes, Christ has entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation. So we've been on a quest. How well have we done? We can't judge. Only God will judge. We do know, however, that some have found that God does indeed love them and have been given a new lease and a new depth to life. Some of us have found a closer walk with God when the curtains of pain and suffering were drawn around us. We discovered then, and we discover each day, new and wonderful dimensions to the presence and the care of this loving God. Often, indeed usually, the experience of God has come through the care and the support of friends and members of the Christian community, the church. As a family, we personally will be forever grateful to God and to you for the understanding and the care and the ministry which you gave to us in our hours of hurt and crisis. The loss of a son and brother will leave us forever less than complete beings, but the outpouring of your love and your care, which we received and continue to receive, has been truly a miracle in our lives. And yet, really not miraculous, in a sense, because that's really what Christian love and what Christian community is all about to start with. So somehow, through the darkness and hurt and crisis, scores of people, including myself, my family, and my former wife, have discovered a kind and loving God, and we're grateful for that. Then, too, we've had our quest for God advanced when the sunlight of joy encompassed us and good things came to make happy our days and our moments. Joy has come in many forms: the birth of a child, the baptism of a child, the marriage of two individuals, the excitement of a new idea, the joy of answered prayer or a new spiritual experience, the sheer joy and happiness of being with Christian friends and fellow Christians. Now, there's been some growth because things have happened. Many things have happened in 6 years. And the ministry of Jesus Christ and this church has been greatly enlarged. In the field of evangelism, we've developed a cassette ministry. We've developed a Christian care program designed to minister to those of limited mobility. There are Bible study and prayer groups and sharing groups. There's a small group who is training itself for evangelistic calling. None of these things were in existence 6 years ago. We have formed a new group of United Methodist men. Reformed it, perhaps, is a better term. And has involved up to 70 or 80, 90 men. And I've never been associated with a church in which the United Methodist women was such a vital, concerned, and active group. one of our most creative, needed, practical ministries has been the development of the clothing and food bank. And I didn't check with those who are in charge of that, but we have probably served upwards of 50 or more families in the past couple of years. We're coming into a new day of Christian education. Sure, this church has been a victim, like nearly every church of major denominations, of a Sunday school melee, but under the capable leadership of the commission now, I think we can see a new day in Christian education. Our church has begun to engage in various kinds of community ministries, so not necessarily through the skill, and the talent, and the time of church people themselves, such as the Alcoholics Anonymous, the nursery school. Then there's been a lot of personal growth. I don't know how you measure personal growth, except as you deal with people. And of course, there's been failures, or at least areas which we had hoped for more. The youth ministry, perhaps. Fellowship activities, such as family nights. As I say, I have, along with my family, experienced the depth and beauty of Christian compassion and understanding. It's my prayer and my wish that that same kind of thoughtfulness and understanding could be brought to bear when ideas and when feelings are different. In the struggle to determine how the physical needs of our church plant are to be met, we've seen emerge the baser side of human beings, where ideas have been neglected and personalities have been highlighted. So let us apply that love and that understanding, which we generously lavish on our friends in their hour of need, to the clash and the differences we sometimes find in the arena of ideas and feelings. For no problem, however great or however small, will find solutions so long as personalities and not issues are addressed. Then we suggested 6 years ago that the mark of a successful church were found in a cooperative endeavor between people and pastor, all working under the guidance of the Spirit of God, toward putting into practice the Christian way in our midst so that the ministry of Christ could be extended. Now, however, I'd add a couple of other characteristics of a successful church. It has to do with the depth of the commitment of its members, the depth of commitment to Jesus Christ alone. And it has to do, secondly, that a church be a witnessing church. So let me thank you for your graciousness in permitting us to live among you. Let me thank you for permitting us to share these 6 years of your life and your experience. May God's grace be with you. Let us pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, who has created a spirit and a way of being and a desire to transform people and the world in which we live. The fields are broad, the places of service are varied, and the service that each one of us can render is dependent on this talent, the particular talent that you have given us. Let us here in these moments then add an extra depth of commitment to Jesus Christ, the that we might be able to see the task which is ours. And through that commitment, will you also equip us for being your disciples and your witnesses wherever and to whatever you have called us. Thank you, God. You're generous, you're loving, you're kind. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.